কন্যা প্রভু নিত্যানন্দ শ্রী অদ্বৈত গদাধর শ্রীবাসাদি গৌর ভক্ত বৃন্দ শ্রী কৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু নিত্যানন্দ শ্রী অদ্বৈত গদাধর শ্রীবাসাদি গৌর ভক্ত বৃন্দ শ্রী কৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু নিত্যানন্দ শ্রী অদ্বৈত গদাধর শ্রীবাসাদি গৌর ভক্ত বৃন্দ হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে 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 রাম 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 হরে 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 কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে 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 রাম 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 হরে 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 কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে 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 রাম 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 হরে 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 কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে 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 রাম 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 হরে 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 কৃষ্ণ 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 hari 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 ram hari ram 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 hari hari Gyan Timidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadhati sva padantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakambitam Scha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna. I am very grateful to be with all of you here in Pune. Where devotees gather to hear, to chant, remember, and serve the Lord. That becomes a very holy place. The Bhagavatam tells, Bhavad Vida Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibhu. Because great devotees, they carry the Lord always within their heart, wherever they put their feet, becomes a holy place of pilgrimage. Krishna never takes a step out of Vrindavan. But yet, Krishna always remains within the hearts of his devotees, and especially manifests when the devotees come together with faith and love to chant the holy names. Great souls, they can transform even materialistic cities anywhere in the world into Vrindavan by their devotion and their compassion. Our beloved Guru Maharaj, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Prabhupada, when he was on the boat Jaladuta, crossing over the Arabian Sea, enduring heart attack, seasickness, with no one to help him physically, he wrote an entry into his diary that he was feeling such separation from Vrindavan Dham. And his worshipable lords, Govinda, Gopinath, Radha Damodar, Madan Mohan, there was not a single devotee for him to associate with on the boat or anywhere where he was going. But he felt very happy because he was executing the order of his spiritual master. And the first meeting of Srila Prabhupada with His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, our Gurudev was a young man who was just married. He bowed down to Srila Saraswati Thakur, and before he even got up at their first meeting, he was given an order. You are an intelligent young man. You should take the message of Lord Chaitanya and teach them all over the world in the English language. Such an order that nobody else in history has ever accomplished is quite a unique way of greeting a person for the first time. Can you imagine? He never met him. Srila Prabhupada was reluctant to even go there because he had no faith in sadhus, because he saw so much hypocrisy and corruption among them. His friend Narendra Mullick somehow or other dragged him there. And out of courtesy and tradition, Srila Prabhupada bowed down. And before he even gave up, the sadhu gave him an order to do something that no one in the history of the world had ever done. To take the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and spread it in the English language all over the world. Srila Prabhupada argued with him in a respectful way. He was at that time a follower of Gandhi. Until we achieve independence, who is going to listen to the message of the people of India? We are a subjugated nation with no respect. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very quiet but forceful. He said, this message is of critical importance at all times for everyone. We are all eternal souls. We are not these bodies. Due to the bodily concept, people are fighting among one another. Due to the bodily concept, people are suffering birth, old age, disease, and death. Miseries caused by their own body and mind, miseries caused by other beings, and miseries caused by natural disturbances like earthquakes, tsunamis. We see this happening in the world at this critical juncture of human history. In Japan, massive earthquake and tidal waves have inundated one of the most powerful, wealthy, and progressive countries in the world. No technology, no scientific progress, no wealth, power, or military action could defend against a natural disturbance like a tsunami. Ultimately, whoever we are, wherever we are, there are forces more powerful than ourselves, individually and collectively, that could cause suffering and death. To understand this in truth will make one humble and seek shelter of a truth beyond the ever-changing phenomena of this world. We are all eternal souls, and God is within the heart of every living being. Najayate mriyate vakada chit nayanbut pavavivta vavnabuya. The Gita explains that for the soul, it is never born and is never, can never die, cannot be burnt by fire, drowned by water. There is no weapon that can touch it. We are eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. That is our very essence. So yes, this world, it is our duty as human beings to make it the best possible place we can for people to be safe, protected, and happy, whoever they may be. This is human morality. And it is also devotion to the Lord. Vidyavanaya sampani brahmani gavi hastini suni chaiva swapake cha pandita samadarshana. To see every living being with equal vision, whether one is white or black or red or yellow or brown, male or female, rich or poor, whether one is from one religion or another religion or no religion, everyone is part of God. Mamaivam so jivaloke jivabhuta sanat. To honor and respect the essence, the eternal life force within everyone. That, according to the Gita, is real knowledge. And wherever our material skills and academic knowledge is integrated with this understanding of the eternal truth, that is true education. Education that will not only liberate us from all sufferings, but awaken true love between us. Where there is love for God within the heart, there is compassion for all beings. So although it is our sacred duty to do everything we can on the physical and emotional level to help those who are suffering, especially in times like this, it is also the holistic understanding of true compassion to help people to understand the true, eternal nature of the indestructible soul and the indestructible, unchanging relationship with God that we have, but we have forgotten. Because whoever we are, wherever we are, padam padam yad vipadam natesham, on the physical level there are always dangers that may completely frustrate our plans, our expectations, whether it be a tiny little germ that cannot even be seen by the eyes within our bodies that could create a virus or a disease that kills us, or whether the entire earth shakes and massive waves come to inundate cities. There's danger. This does not mean we live in paranoia. It means we live in truth. Bhajahude mana sri nanda nandana abhaya charana ravindare. The great poet Govindadas prayed, my dear mind, please worship the lotus feet of the Lord Sri Nanda Nandana. Because when you connect with that divine force of Krishna's mercy, we become fearless. Not fearless in the way of a warrior who's willing to give his life for the sake of the country and knows that to die for that purpose is to die in honor. But the fearlessness of realizing and having direct experience that my true self, who is animating this body, is beyond birth and beyond death. To give people that experience is the eternal necessity for human society. And it cannot wait for the ever-changing tides of this world. Who is in political power? What is the nature of the present predicament of material existence? These things are always changing. But the everlasting truth must prevail. It was topics like this, which I have expanded on according to modern times, that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told our Gurudev. And he took that message as his life and soul. 1922, and he prepared his whole life, and finally in 1965 he was on the boat Jaladuta after raising his family, performing his worldly duties, as well as cultivating the seed of that instruction that his guru gave him to spread the message of Lord Chaitanya, the golden avatar, to the whole world. In a few days, we will be celebrating Gaur Purnima, which is the appearance day of Lord Chaitanya. Vrindavan Das Thakur in his Chaitanya Bhagavat explains that one who observes with faith and devotion these 2 days of Nityananda Prabhu's appearance and Lord Chaitanya's appearance will certainly attain the goal of life. I was asked by our very beloved and empowered president, His Grace Radhe Shyam Prabhu, to speak something about Lord Chaitanya, to help to awaken deeper consciousness of the great festival that is coming very soon. I believe His Holiness Bhaktirasamrita Swami Maharaj was speaking about Lord Chaitanya for the last few days. How many of you attended his talks? Whatever remnants he has left behind, I will try to speak something. There's a verse in the Antyalila of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita wherein Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very pleased to accept everything that is offered with faith and love. And in return, the Lord bestows infinite mercy. The Bhagavad Gita tells Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam. Krishna says that if one offers me anything, even a single piece of fruit, a little flower, a leaf, or some water, with devotion, I will accept it. Everyone and anyone can afford a leaf. Even the poorest people, there's no charge to take a leaf from a tree. But if it is offered with faith and love to the Supreme Lord, that leaf is more precious than the most elegant diamonds in the British Museum, which were stolen from India. But they can have our diamonds. We have so many leaves on so many trees. Krishna's bhavagrahi, he accepts the purpose in which everything is offered. So Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami begins his chapter in this way, that the Lord is very, very pleased to accept any offering that is given with faith and love, and in return bestows infinite mercy. And then Kaviraj Goswami goes on to tell several stories to illustrate the love between the Lord and his devotees in this context. Every year, the devotees from Bengal would go to Puri and remain with the Lord for 4 months. On one particular year, among the group of three or four hundred devotees, Nityananda Prabhu was present. Just the year before, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Nityananda Prabhu, do not come back to Puri next year. Stay in Bengal, because there's a great crisis, there's a great need, there's a great drought of devotion to God there. Go there, stay there, and spread the glories of the holy name, the Sankirtan movement. But Nityananda Prabhu was coming back. And herein, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells, see the glory of Lord Nityananda. How he's pleasing the Lord by disobeying his instruction. It is an expression of his love. Now, if you or me disobey an instruction, it's not an expression of love. Or we may think it is, but it's just a sentimental justification within our mind. But the Lord is within the heart. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridaye shirjanatishtati. He understands the truth. Nityananda Prabhu, due to his deep, ecstatic love for the Lord, he knew that the Lord really does want to see me. So he went. We cannot imitate such great souls, but we could bow our heads to understand the principles that they represent. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that when the gopis of Sri Braj Bhumi heard Krishna play his flute during the Sarat Purnima, the full moon night of the autumn season, they all came to the Bamsivat tree on bank of Yamuna. And Krishna ordered them, now you have come, you have seen the forest, you have shown your love to me by risking everything just to give me pleasure, now you can go home. But the gopis did not go home. They stayed. In their disobeying the Lord's order, they gave him tens of millions of times more happiness than in following his order because of their ecstatic love. So Nityananda Prabhu was there. At the same time, there was a devotee named Makaradvaj Kara, who with great efforts, along with three men, were carrying heavy bags filled with the prasad made by Raghava Pandit and his sister Damayanti. There is a great description of this. Raghava Pandit and Damayanti would make large quantities of prasad in Panihati, Bengal, and bring them all the way to Puri with strong men carrying, and the Lord would eat that prasad for the whole year to come. They would make so many preparations. Kaviraj Goswami tells he could not describe properly all the preparations that they would make even in his whole lifetime. But then he describes. Just a drop from the ocean. And elsewhere in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it describes, if anyone hears about the content of the prasad within the bags of Raghava Pandit with faith and love, that alone will grant you eternal love for God. This is the power of devotion. They made with so much love and devotion, so many wonderful preparations, but then their meditation. Damayanti was thinking that when the Lord eats all of this, then he's going to have indigestion. So I have to make something for that. So she prepared very bitter leaves and other preparation, which was, for an ordinary person, unpalatable, but had tremendous medicinal effects. And it describes that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he tasted those very bitter, dried leaves, it was sweeter to him than Panchamrita. Very sweet offerings to the Lord. And therein, our scripture tells us that the Lord extracts the purpose of everything that is offered to him. Because Raghava Pandit and Damayanti, their love for Krishna, for Lord Chaitanya, was like the love of the gopis and the gopas of Vrindavan for Krishna. They gave their heart, their soul, and surrendered, but they felt him to be an ordinary person. That if he eats too much, he will have problem. So they were dealing with that in the way they were meditating on cooking for him. The Lord accepts the purpose in which everything is offered. And here Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes from a great poet, Bhavravi, a verse which tells how a lover in the assembly of many people placed a garland around his beloved. But even though that garland was covered with mud, and in front of everyone, in her very beautiful clothes, she accepted the garland and became all muddy, she was very happy because it was offered with love. The origin of this experience is between God and his devotees. She would make these preparations, and then some of them, the condiments, etc., she would put in clay pots and seal them. And others, each preparation she put in a bag and sealed that. She personally, with her own hands, made the bags. Then she had bigger bags, which she would put the smaller bags in and seal them very carefully to keep them fresh. And there were so many bags, it took 3 men to carry them. They had to carry them almost 1,000 kilometers. And it explains that those who were carrying them, they understood that this prasad was so valuable, they were willing to dedicate their lives, give their lives to protect these bags, because they would give so much satisfaction to the Lord. They all, with the help of Shivananda Sen, who was the leader in the party every year to take care of the devotees for their whole journey, walking from Bengal to Puri. When they arrived in Jagannath Puri, it happened to be the day of the boat festival for Lord Jagannath. There is a lake called Narendra Sarovar, and there the Vijay Vigraha of Jagannath, named Govinda, would be taken in procession and put on a boat. There would be musical instruments and mantras being chanted by pujaris and brahmins. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his associates were on the banks of Narendra Sarovar performing Nam Sankirtan. It was at that time that all these hundreds and hundreds of devotees from Bengal came. They all fell down and offered their prostrated obeisances at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. And to each and every one of them individually, Lord Chaitanya lifted them up and embraced them. Then they all started chanting. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would induce them to chant in kirtan together, playing instruments, was tumultuous. You see, the Lord is so pleased when we chant His name with faith and love. Therefore, there is nothing that pleases the devotee more than to chant kirtan together, because it pleases the Lord so much. Their enthusiasm was as unlimited as the goal of their purpose, their sadhana and their sadhya. The goal is to please the Lord, and the means is to chant together with faith and love. It is explained that this kirtan made the whole earth tremble, but a good trembling. It was not destructive. It was supremely constructive. Then Lord Chaitanya jumped in the water, and all of his associates jumped in the water. And along with Govinda, who was on the boat, they had beautiful pastimes. When the boat festival was over, Govinda was brought back into the Jagannath temple, and Lord Chaitanya and all his devotees went there, had the darshan. Then he brought everyone back to his residence. And at that time, he spoke to them, brought large quantities of Jagannath prasad and fed them, then sent them back to their own places where they would reside. The next morning, very early, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all of his devotees went into Jagannath's temple. They had the darshan of seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu divided his devotees into seven groups and inspired them to perform Nam Sankirtan, chanting of the holy names. As they were chanting, so many murdungas and karatals, so many dancers and singers. Each group, there was a lead dancer. Advaitacharya, Nityananda Prabhu, Vakreshwar Pandit, Srivas, Achyutananda, Narahari, and Satyaraj Khan were the lead dancers in the seven groups. They were dancing, inducing everyone to dance. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu raised both of his arms very high in the air and turned to everyone and cried out, Hari Bol!
Hari Bol!
The chanting became full of ecstatic love. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was one by one going to each of the seven groups to inspect the enthusiasm of the devotees, but each group was thinking that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is only with us. He doesn't go anywhere else. He remains only with us. This is the power of the Lord's love. Love in this world for an ordinary person, even an extraordinary person. If we show attention to somebody, then we can't show attention to other people. Yes? But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Krishna, in the mood of Sri Radha, all the infinite number of people in the spiritual world and all the infinite people who may be in the material world, he can simultaneously make everyone feel, I'm only with you. That is the power of the Lord's love. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is inviting all of us to enter into the lila of that love. But unfortunately, since time immemorial, we have wanted to become the proprietor, the controller, and the enjoyer of our circumstances within this material world. And the ahankar, the ego, is making us think, I am this body, and I am, and whatever is in relation to this body is mine. And although we're struggling so hard, trying to put a place for ourselves within this world, we have forgotten the great treasure of our relationship with Krishna, which is the source of true happiness. The power of Krishna's love is infinite, and it can be infinitely reposed in everyone who is willing to accept it simultaneously. When Krishna was in Dwarka, so many palaces of so many queens, it's not that they had to wait until their turn was made. Krishna was living simultaneously with all of them. And in the same way, within our hearts, Krishna can perfectly reciprocate with our love through His. The kirtan went on, and it was getting more and more tumultuous until it was filling the entire world. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally began to dance. In the center, all seven groups gathered around him. Can you imagine? There were many, many mridangas and kartals playing in seven directions. And hundreds of people chanting. Soon, practically all the people of Puri came to join this kirtan. And King Prataparudra was watching from a distant place, and all of his queens. They could not believe the manifestation of spiritual love that they were beholding. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again raised his arms and told everyone to loudly fill the universe with the holy names. He turned to Swarup Damodar Goswami and instructed him to chant a particular verse that the Lord was feeling in his heart. That verse was, "Let my head fall at the feet of Lord Jagannath in the kirtan hall known as Jagamohan." Swarup Damodar Goswami repeated that verse again and again and again as everyone was chanting in kirtan, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mood of Sri Radha, was meditating on putting his head on the feet of Lord Jagannath in surrender and love in the Lord's kirtan hall. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced in such a way that his tears, everyone there was floating in the waves produced by his tears. He was in such ecstasy chanting the holy names of the Lord among his devotees. His hairs stood on end like the thorns of the Shimula tree. Blood and perspiration were simultaneously flowing from every pore of his body. His limbs were trembling. Sometimes he became very thin, other times he became very heavy. Sometimes he would fall to the ground and there was no breath or heartbeat in his body. Then he would get up and loudly cry out the holy names. Each of his teeth was individually vibrating, looking like they may fall out. In this way, the Lord was dancing. No one in this creation has ever seen the manifestation on somebody's body of spiritual love like this. The Lord went on chanting and dancing and chanting and dancing, and everyone, their eyes were fixed just on looking at him. And the reciprocation between them, they were chanting and he was dancing. And each person is thinking, he's dancing to my chanting. And together they all understood. Where there is satisfaction of the Lord, there can be no envy or enmity between anyone. These vices only exist in the absence and the darkness where the light of true devotion does not exist. In Jarikanda, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he induced love of God through chanting of the holy names, even the tigers and the deers were embracing and kissing one another in love. Although ordinarily tigers and deers are enemies because one eats the other. One wants to exploit and devour and the other is in fear. But they forgot everything. This is the test of our sincerity in Krishna consciousness. Envy and enmity cannot exist between us. When you water the root of the tree, that water goes to every part of the tree. Similarly, when we actually repose our love in God, in Krishna, that love goes to every living being. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced and danced and danced hour after hour after hour, and it explains all the thousands, tens and thousands of people who were there at that kirtan. They forgot their body, their minds, and their homes. The only thing that was in their hearts was the ecstatic love for Krishna as they chanted his holy names. They started the kirtan early morning, before sunrise. Now, it was mid-afternoon. That means about 8 hours. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it explains, at every moment his ecstasy and enthusiasm was increasing. It was going to go on forever. Somehow or other, Lord Nityananda Prabhu stopped everyone from chanting, except he had Swarup Damodar Goswami singing very softly. And when the tumultuous kirtan ended, Lord Chaitanya came to his external state of consciousness. Sri Nityananda Prabhu told him that the devotees have been chanting and singing with you all day. They're very fatigued and hungry. So Lord Chaitanya stopped the kirtan. And he brought all the devotees to the sea. We're all together. They bathed. Then he brought all of them to his to take prasad together. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with all the devotees were taking Lord Jagannath's Mahaprasad. Then he sent them all to their homes to rest. And the Lord came to the Gambira, which was his residence. It was a rule that every day after Lord Chaitanya would eat his lunch, prasad, his personal servant, Govinda, would massage him. And then after massaging him, Govinda would take the remnants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. On this day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu he laid down across the doorway of his place, the Gambira. And Govinda couldn't get in. So he couldn't massage the Lord because the Lord's feet and everything were inside and Govinda was outside and the Lord's was blocking the way. So Govinda, very humbly, he said, "Kindly move to the side so that I could come in to massage you." Lord Chaitanya replied, "I have no strength. I cannot move my body." After some time, Govinda said, "Please, just slightly move to your side so I could get in to massage you, my Lord." And the Lord said, "I cannot move my body." Again and again and again he asked. Finally he said, "My Lord, I want to massage you. Please move." And Lord Chaitanya told him, "Do it or don't do it. Whatever is in your mind." So Govinda took one of Lord Chaitanya's outer wrappers, his clothes, and put it over the Lord's body. Then Govinda stepped over the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord. And once inside, he began to massage. Very gently, he massaged the Lord's feet, his legs, and his back. 45 minutes passed as Lord Chaitanya slept very nicely. Then the Lord woke up, and he saw Govinda was still there massaging him. He said, "Govinda, what are you doing here? Why have you not taken your prasad?" Govinda said, "How could I take prasad? The prasad's outside, and I'm inside, and you're blocking the doorway." Lord Chaitanya said, "Well, how did you come in? Why didn't you go out to eat your prasad the same way you came in?" Govinda did not say anything. In his mind, he was thinking, "In your service, my Lord, I'm prepared to commit any offenses or even go to hell in order to serve you and please you, my Lord. I'm prepared to suffer the reactions of tens and millions of offenses. But for my own sense gratification, I highly fear even considering what to speak of performing even a glimpse of a single offense." This was his thoughts, although he remained silent. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understands the heart and the mind of his devotee. And Kaviraj Goswami tells that this story illustrates the finer details of Vaishnav etiquette. And he explains how materialistic devotees, prakrita sahajyas, or karmakandis, they are very much thinking that the formality of the execution of how they perform their religious duties is what's going to help them to make advancement. But true devotees understand samsidhira haritoshanam. Atapumbird vijastrestas varana shrama vibhagasha shvanushtatasya dharmasya samsidhir haritoshanam.
Whatever our occupation, whatever our status in society may be, or whatever religious rituals we may perform, the goal is to please Krishna. And Krishna is pleased by our faith and our love. Not the formality. The formality is meant to be a medium by which we can express our faith and love. Or the medium by which we try to purify ourselves so we can access within ourselves that faith and love. The thing of itself is not pleasing to the Lord. It is the intention. And there are so many examples. Shabari, she was eating the fruit, and then once, if the fruit was sweet, she'd give it to Ram right out from her mouth. And if it wasn't, she would save it for herself later. That's very much against the Archana rules. But the Lord was pleased to accept it because it was done with love. The Brahman in Srirangam, he was reciting Bhagavad Gita with incorrect Sanskrit pronunciation. But Lord Chaitanya proclaimed that you are the true knower of the Gita. Because you are chanting with love for your guru and Krishna. That aboriginal woman who came to Vrindavan selling fruits simply because she pleased Krishna by giving all her fruits for nothing, she attained the treasure of the greatest jewels of love of God. The Lord accepts our intentions. Of course, if we have the right intentions, we're going to try with all earnest determination to do things in a proper way. But there is no material qualification or disqualification to please the Lord if we are sincere. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally engineered this incident just to show the exalted qualities of his devotee. For his own selfish purpose, Govinda was not willing to do even a glimpse of anything improper. But to please the Lord, he was willing to take all risks. Without consideration. That is the nature of love. All the devotees, they brought Govinda the preparations that they prepared in Bengal and carried all the way to Puri. And they were also getting more here in Puri. And they'd all tell him, please give this to Lord Chaitanya and tell us how he liked it. So Govinda would give a preparation to Lord Chaitanya during his lunch. He said, this was prepared by Advaitacharya and his wife Sita Thakurani. With great effort they came to bring this to you. Lord Chaitanya said, not now, put it in storage. Every day, whatever anyone gave him, Mahaprabhu said the same thing, put it in storage. And all the bags of Raghava Pandit were in storage. And every day, the devotees were asking Govinda, what did the Lord say? Did he like my preparation? He didn't have the heart to say. He hasn't eaten it. He told me to put it in storage. He didn't want to break the hearts of the devotees. So Govinda actually told lies to the devotees. And this was going on day after day, week after week after week after week, until finally a whole corner of the room was filled with storage prasad. There was enough for hundreds of men to eat. And Lord Chaitanya wouldn't eat any of it. So Govinda was feeling very desperate. He said to the Lord, every day devotees are asking how you like the prasad you made, and I have to cheat them by telling them something else. How will I ever be free from this responsibility? You're not eating any of it. Lord Chaitanya said, why are you talking so foolish? Bring all the prasad. Don't be disappointed. And in this, Bhaktivinod Thakur gives his commentary that when Lord Chaitanya said, called him an Adivasya, it meant one who is living with me. You are living with me constantly, Govinda. And all these other people are coming and going and coming and going. Some are new people, some are old people, but they're coming and going. But you're with me always, so you should know better than being disappointed by these things. Material circumstances are always changing. Tatikshava karuna ka surata sarva bhutanam. I was listening to a lecture of Srila Prabhupada yesterday where he was saying the first quality of a true sadhu or devotee is tatiksha. Tolerance. He used the example of Prahlad, Haridas Thakur, and so many others. When you become a sadhu, some people will love you, some people will hate you. Some people will say all bad things about you. We shouldn't be disappointed. We should be happy just for the opportunity to serve the Lord, to serve the devotees of the Lord, to serve everyone. And whatever the result, sometimes it's beyond our control. Trinarapi sunichena taror iba sehishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. To be humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. It is in this spirit that Krishna is pleased to reveal himself within our name, and then we could chant constantly.
Krishna, 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 Rama, 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 Rama.
So you should not be disappointed by what people are saying or thinking. Bring all the prasad. But Govinda, He was afraid of breaking the hearts of the Vaishnavas. This was his devotion. He had such a soft and tender heart. He couldn't tolerate speaking the truth. Even a week later, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month later, the Lord still has your prasad in storage. And they were subjis and things that you just don't keep in storage for a month. So many different things. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just to satisfy Govinda, he said, bring it all now. And Govinda, one by one, was bringing preparations. And he was saying, this was prepared by Advaitacharya. He has made for you Peda and Kheer, and he's made for you so many nice preparations. And one after another, the Lord ate everything. Then he said, this was made for you by Srivas Thakur and his wife Malini. So many dozens and dozens of preparations. And with each preparation, he gave the name of the preparation and served it. The Lord ate all of it. This was prepared by Acharya Ratna. And this by Acharya Nidhi. This was by Murari Gupta. And Buddhimanta Khan brought this. And the Lord ate and ate. This was prepared by Vasudev Dutt, and this was by Mukunda Dutt. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, just keep bringing. And Govinda was noting down every comment that the Lord made for every preparation so he could go out and tell them all, and they would all be so happy. Finally, he ate the entire section of the room full of prasad, which was more than 100 grown men could not possibly eat. And he ate it all within a matter of minutes. He spent the day just eating prasad to make the devotees happy. Govinda was very happy. Now, what a miracle. No one could eat so much. But Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. During the Govardhan Puja, there was enough for thousands and thousands and thousands, tens and thousands of people the Brijabasis cooked mountains for. And Krishna, in the form of Govardhan, ate all of it and then gave it all back as Mahaprasad. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed this incredible opulence. He ate all the food of the Brijabasis just to accept their love. And similarly, Lord Chaitanya ate all the food to accept their love. And what was incredible about this incident is some of the prasad was over 1 month old. And in those days, they didn't have refrigerators or cold storage. And this is during Chaturmasya, which is the very, very hot season in Jagannath Puri. It's extremely hot season. And all this food was just sitting in the corner of this hot room for a month. And yet each preparation that Govinda gave Lord Chaitanya was as fresh as if it had been prepared minutes before. This was the Lord's miracle. To receive the love of his devotee in the form of this food. He preserved it. Then Lord Chaitanya said, is there anything left? Govinda said, there are the bags of Raghava Pandit. Lord Chaitanya said, save it. I will have a little bit of it throughout the entire next year. The next day, during lunchtime, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in seclusion, he went into the room where Raghava Pandit's bags were. And he opened each and every one. First he opened the big ones. And then in the big ones, there were so many small ones. And he opened each of them. And then he opened the pacts. Each one was very nicely sewn and sealed by Damayanti. And he took a little part of every single preparation that day. And was praising from his heart of hearts the flavor and aroma of each one. And then he left the rest. Now by this time, all the seals were open. He tasted a little of everything, and he kept. And he had Swarup Damodar Goswami give a little more of it every single day for the rest of the year. And sometimes at night, he would go into the room and eat Raghava Pandit's prasad, Damayanti's. And even though a full year passed, each preparation was as fresh and as tasteful as if it was just made. This is how the Lord's relationships with his devotees is not at all subjected to the limitations or the inebrieties of material existence. Because bhakti, or devotional service, is on the spiritual platform. Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. This chanting of the holy names has descended from Goloka Vrindavan, the spiritual world. And similarly, worship of the deity, service to the Vaishnavas, compassion to other living beings. These are the activities of the spiritual world. Anya vilashita sunyam jnana karmanya navidam anukulya krishnanu shilanam bhaktir uttama. True devotion is without any selfish desire, not for sensual gains, not for wealth or power or position, not for mystic powers, not even for liberation. True devotional service is performed in a favorable, positive way simply for the pleasure of the Lord. That is the consciousness of the spiritual world, and wherever it is performed, even in this world, is of the spiritual world. Devotees, through these stories, are taught to understand not to see things according to our mundane perspectives. Devotional service is transcendental. It's on the platform of the eternal soul and the love of God. Krishna is all attractive, and his supreme most attractive quality is his infinite loving relationships with his devotees. In this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed that whatever Damayanti and Raghava Pandit cooked was perfectly fresh and pleasing to him throughout the year because it was offered with faith and love by his devotee. During that Chaturmasya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was constantly being invited to people's houses for prasad as well. And on a regular basis, he would go. Sometimes Advaitacharya, sometimes Srivas, sometimes Acharya Ratna, Chandrasekhar, they would invite the Lord to the house. Murari Gupta. They would, that day, make home-cooked meals. And they would also buy the best prasad of Lord Jagannath. Even the most costly types of prasad. And they were not wealthy people, but anything for the pleasure of the Lord. In this particular chapter, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that when Ramchandra Puri, you all know him? He was the one that criticized the Lord for eating too much. And therefore, when he was there, the Lord only ate some plain rice, a handful. When Ramchandra Puri was in Puri, the prasad that was sold, Jagannath's prasad that was sold at the stands outside the temple, was half the price. Do you know why? Because every day the devotees wanted to buy prasad for the Lord. But when Ramchandra Puri was there, they didn't buy any because he wouldn't eat more than a handful of rice. So because no one was buying, they had to reduce the price. So Ramchandra Puri he caused so much distress to everyone. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ramchandra Puri wasn't there at this year. He would go to these houses. Sometimes he would bring some of his associates. Sometimes he would come alone. And one day, Shivananda Sen invited Lord Chaitanya to his house for prasad. When he came, Shivananda Sen brought forth his eldest son. Lord Chaitanya asked, "Please tell me, what is his name?" Now, why would the Lord ask a question like this? Vedam samatitani varatamanani chaujana bhavashyani chabutani mamtu vedana kashchana. The Lord knows everything happening in the past, all that's happening in the present, all things that are to come in the future. The Lord knows every desire, every thought, every word that everyone has ever thought, experienced, spoken, or done forever. So why is he asking, what is the child's name? This is the nature of loving relationships. And Shivananda Sen said, "My son's name is Chaitanya Das." Lord Chaitanya said, "Why did you give him a name like this? What is in your mind?" And because he named him after Lord Chaitanya. And Shivananda Sen said, "Whatever name came from my heart is what I gave him." Then Shivananda Sen fed the Lord prasad. Because Shivananda Sen and his good wife, they had so much love and devotion to the Lord, and they had so much devotion to serving other devotees, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not refuse him. And Shivananda Sen kept bringing more and more and more, and Lord Chaitanya was eating so much prasad that he ate too much. And his mind was feeling, "I've eaten too much. Now how is this possible?" Just before, he ate a whole room full of prasad, more than hundreds of people. And now he's just taking one feast and he's eating too much? This is the inconceivable lila of the Lord. He can adjust in any way to make his lilas exciting and satisfying. So the next day, Chaitanya Das, the son of Shivananda Sen, invited Lord Chaitanya back for prasad. Now the day before, there were so many sabjis and so many rice and so many grains and so many cakes and so many chutneys. It was an incredible feast the Lord ate. But when the Lord came back, Chaitanya Das just arranged some lemon, ginger, some soft urd dal bodies, and salt, and yogurt. And he mixed some rice and yogurt with these other bitter types of things. And he was thinking, because Lord Chaitanya ate too much rich things yesterday, he has indigestion. So let me invite him and give him things that will make his stomach feel very nice. And as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the only thing he was served was some yogurt with rice with some ginger and lemon and salt. And he was experiencing great ecstasy eating it, because he was experiencing the devotional sentiments of Chaitanya Das, who wanted to make him happy. And Lord Chaitanya said in front of Shivananda Sen and everyone, "How is it that this boy has understood my mind and has given me complete satisfaction?" Devotional service, we have so many rituals. But as we have explained, the ritual is a sacred form that we should try to do the best we possibly can. But the purpose of every ritual, the purpose of everything we do, is to please Krishna. That is the foundation. A Kanishta Adhikari, or a materialistic devotee, is one who worships the deity very nicely in the temple, but does not properly serve and satisfy the devotees and the people in general. So we should perform our worship of the deity the best we possibly can. And at the same time, we have to humbly serve the devotees and the people in general if we want our offerings to actually satisfy Krishna. Here in Pune, there is a glorious temple that is being built, which will attract, hopefully, many millions and millions of people. But what will make the temple glorious, not just the architecture, the marble, or the interior designs, or the exterior beauty. We should do the best we can because it's for Krishna. But unless we have congenial, humble, loving relationships with each other, centered around service to Krishna, centered around uplifting one another, unless we really learn to find our joy in seeing other devotees uplifted and other beings being introduced to Krishna, and we're working together harmoniously for that purpose, then Krishna doesn't need our temples. He doesn't need anything. He wants our love. And the purpose of building such beautiful, magnificent temples is to have a place where this true devotion is being manifested. Just like a ritual, its substance is how it contains our devotion. Similarly, a temple, its substance is the spirit of devotion that it contains among the devotees. So along with collecting funds and doing all of the incredible, wonderful, beautiful things to build this temple, we should understand that how we chant our rounds every day of the Maha Mantra, how we absorb ourselves in studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and actually apply those teachings to our life with each other, and how we come together to render service and to do Nam Sankirtan, to distribute books, to outreach people by giving relief in so many ways, physically, mentally, spiritually. This is building the inner substance of the temple. And the challenge of coming together, so many people, to build a temple like this gives us an opportunity to focus around Krishna with each other, to do something in a very, very harmonious way. So the process of building the temple externally, if it's done right, helps us to build the temple of the heart. And to the degree we build the temple of the heart, to that degree, the external temple is beautiful and glorious before God, and will have power to attract people's lives and transform them. So whatever we do, whether we're building glorious temples that will stand for 1,000 years, or whether we're cooking some rice and dal and sabjis for our family. Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, is very pleased by how it is offered with faith and love, and will bestow all mercy upon us. And ending this chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives a benediction. Anyone who hears these stories with faith and love will undoubtedly be given ecstatic love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he ends by saying, "This is certain." Thank you very much.
He says to one of the disciples that if I ask you for water, give me water, don't give me milk. You know, I remember when Prabhupada was in Vrindavan during his last days, there was a kind of tug of war between disciples whether to take him around Govardhan in a bullock cart or not to take him. And both the disciples, their hearts were filled with love. One was having concern that Prabhupada is too old, and the other people were eager to please Prabhupada's heart, you know, because they wanted, they actually, both of their intentions were pure. I heard that afterwards Prabhupada was not taken around, I heard. So today you were speaking so beautifully about breaking a lesser principle for a higher principle. I like the examples of Nityananda Prabhu and Raghava Pandit Damayanti, you said, also Govinda's pastime. And oftentimes when there is a tug of war in our heart regarding, you know, my awareness of the higher principle, how confident can I be that this is a higher principle, this is a lower principle? Or rather, would it be more preferable to depend on the superiors, like my superior God brothers, you know, and know from them what is the heart of the spiritual master and just follow it? That makes life more simple and easy, rather than be labeled as upstart, no? So, how can we be, how can one be very sure? Should one make assessment of the situation oneself? Or should one consult the superiors and just follow what they say? So that was my question, Maharaj.
Vyavasayatmaka budhir ekeha kurudandana bahushaka yanantascha budhayo vyavasayanam.
This verse from Gita tells those who are on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. The minds of those who are irresolute, intelligence is many branched. And Srila Prabhupada, he found tremendous inspiration reading the purport of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who explained this verse means we should make the will of the Guru our life and soul. We cannot compare ourselves to the gopis of Vrindavan or Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who was Sri Balaram, the first expansion of Krishna. We should be humble. We shouldn't delude ourselves or others by thinking we are in a more advanced platform than we are, because the false ego in the mind is very cunning to do what we want to do in the name of God and Krishna. So it is best to inquire,
from people more experienced, more senior to ourselves, to get clarification. That is the proper thing. It doesn't mean every single little thing we do we have to ask questions. We're given a particular direction, a particular idea of what we're supposed to do. And then according to our realization, according to our inspiration, we try to execute it. And there are so many small decisions we have to make. But we have to examine our heart very honestly. Is this what will please Guru and Krishna? And we have to do honestly. But then when there's more significant questions on bigger issues, unless it's very clear to us how it's to be done, then we should inquire. And sometimes when we inquire, we're given a specific answer. Then we know what to do. Because who knows better how to please the person than the person himself? But other times we're told to make the decision ourselves. That's the challenge. That we have to really examine our hearts. And if we do what we really feel is best to please the Lord, then that is perfect. Does that answer your question?
Hare Krishna. Yes, Maharaj. Thank you, Maharaj.
You sure?
I have a little extension to the question. Can I ask, Maharaj? As you said, the advanced Vaishnavas, they have the finer fibers of the Vaishnava philosophy, due to which sometimes even what they say, they may exactly not mean that. Because sometimes, as we also hear in Chaitanya Leela, the Lord says one thing and he feels something else inside. And oftentimes the superior Vaishnavas, they give instruction to a subordinate based on his level of understanding and advancement, you know. That was the reason I was asking the question. Is it safer for one to be a Prakrita Bhakta just following what he is told to do? Or one should venture in trying to understand the heart of superiors?
Prakrita Bhakta doesn't mean just doing what you're told to do. It means doing with material motivations. Just doing what you're told to do for the satisfaction of Guru, Vaishnava, and Krishna is pure devotional service. Materialistic is when we have material ambitions mixed with our devotional service. So we should do what we're told. Krishna tells in Gita what he wants us to do. And so many commentators of the Gita explain what they want Krishna to be saying. Yes? And our acharyas, and Srila Prabhupada is the spokesman of our acharyas, he very much doesn't consider this acceptable. And here is Krishna's order, and swamis and sadhus and politicians and scholars, what they want to say, they're putting in Krishna's mouth in their explanations. But as it is means, this is what Krishna said, this is what we accept. So we accept what is there. But at the same time, when we take that order in proper context, when we take Krishna's teachings and the directions of the great gurus, when we take them in proper concept, and then we use our creative intelligence to fulfill that without ulterior motives,
and we're very certain that we're going in the right direction, then that creative intelligence is a great ornament to our devotional service. But we have to be very sure that we're doing it in a way that's actually pleasing.
Thank you, Maharaj.
And for this, it's important that we don't speculate. Speculation is not... There is so much freedom within the realm of following the teachings of Guru and Krishna. But we have to make sure that we're actually following in spirit and in form. Because everyone and anyone can justify that this is what he really means. And he said, I shouldn't do this, but really he means that he likes it. And to teach others that too. We have to understand the spirit. Unless we really deeply understand the spirit of Guru and Krishna and the great acharyas, when we really deeply understand the spirit, then we will come to the right conclusions. But as long as we have ego, then we're very vulnerable to do what we want in the name of God. So we have to be simple, careful. It's very easy. It's easy to ask. Yes? And at the same time, we're given oftentimes much freedom by which we can express that. But we have to make sure that the basic purpose is in the right direction.
Thank you very much.
When Srila Prabhupada did this in his last days, take me on Govardhan with Bullock, all his doctors said, he will die. It's impossible. He can't even stand up. He cannot walk. His body is in such a condition. If you put him on that bullock and those rough roads bouncing, he'll die. There's no possibility he could survive. It would be so painful. So some of the devotees said, no. And others were saying, he said we should do it, so we must do it. So there was actually a big fight between the two camps. They had prepared the bullocks. They were standing outside. Bring him, bring him. No, no, we're not going to bring him. No, bring him. No, we're not going to bring him. They were all doing with love. And then Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj said to Prabhupada that you are driving us mad with these instructions. And then Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, Prabhupada's dear god brother, he looked at this Babaji and said, just see how much they love me. So who was right in that particular? Prabhupada engineered that incident in such a way to show the exalted qualities of his devotees. They were both right. Because they were both pleasing Prabhupada's heart. So,
Maharaj, one question from Mataji's side.
Yeah, of course.
Anybody must ask one question from that side? Mataji, you want to ask? No. Can you give them, Maharaj? Krishna Swami Maharaj ki. So we want to thank.